Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. The dramatic market chop continues. Dow futures down about 900 here after yesterday's 1,200-point bounce. Goldman today declares the end of the bull market, sets a mid-year target of 2450, which would be down 15% from here. Europe had gains. They're basically gone. Oil's down a buck as the Saudis boost capacity. So worries about the virus putting stocks on track to give back most of yesterday's gains. The wild ride on Tuesday saw the Dow erase a 900-point jump before rebounding to finish up almost 5%, recouping half of its losses from Monday's 2,000-point sell-off. Jim, remember when we couldn't get a 1% move? Last 12 sessions, S&P's moved an average of 3.5%.
Yeah, I mean, the market feels very broken to me. There's not a lot of liquidity. Many things are happening at night. You'll see the interest rates go down at night, and then suddenly the S&P's having its own nightly session. We all have to play by that tune. I completely get it. There is, I want to say, if there's not panic. It's just people want to get out. I mean, if there were panic, then what you would see is just endless down, endless down. I mean, yesterday you could say, but short covering, you also had buyers come in. I was listening to Jim Paulson before, very good money manager. He sees a lot that he'd like. I don't. I like utilities. I like some of the drug companies, and I like the highest growth tech, Teladoc. And then, really, the rest sold to you. I mean, people are buying Royal Caribbean right here as if it's like a buying opportunity. There's a lot of people using the term buying opportunity, BO, for things.
No.
No, to BO.
No.
Yeah, I'm no to BO,
you know,
too.
As you might expect, a lot of people focus on the credit markets and the oil markets again today. But in terms of trying to understand what's going to happen there and get a sense as to the real economy here as well, guys, if you're a mid-sized company and you've got some leverage debt and you're in the hospitality industry,
right,
or you're in something that's very much consumer-facing, you are now looking at a potential of negative cash flow.
Because you're not facing any consumers.
And then the question is, what does your debt structure look like?
Right.
Do you need to extend maturities? This has moved so quickly that there are companies that were buying back stock weeks ago that are now being advised to sell stock.
It's incredible.
Because that would be the smart move in terms of preparing for what may be, we hope, a very short-lived but significant downturn.
How about the revolvers? Are they being triggered? Are companies going back?
I've heard it as much, but
Norwegian? Yep.
I mean, sure, if you're in a case like that, you're going to pull down your revolver conceivably, but I haven't heard that generally speaking.
No.
Then there's the energy sector, which is a separate story, certainly an important part of the high-yield market, where you are going to have, I think, when you talk to people, bankruptcies, it would seem. Again, we're talking the smaller and mid-sized players, but that's going to be restructuring, without a doubt. Of some companies there, given this price war that is only getting worse between the Saudis and the Russians.
So if we have two big buckets here, right? One bucket is solving the public health issue, getting a vaccine, getting diagnostics. The other is building a bridge to that day with loan forgiveness and you call them bailouts if you want. That's what this meeting of bank CEOs with the president's about today.
Right, and they're also, I mean, we have guys like Mark Benioff coming in too. I mean, there's some real business people coming in. I think that they will. It's good that they're doing it. I think Treasury Secretary Mnuchin is monitoring everything. I do believe the Congress is going to have to get on the case. The only positive aspect I see other than the fiscal stimulus, of course, is that Len Schleifer was on, the excellent CEO at Regeneron. We started our show 15 years ago. He was our first CEO who was on. His stock was at 5. It's now at 500, so let's give him a little street cred. But monoclonal antibodies, he thinks, could be a preventative approach and a treatment approach. We also see that maybe healthcare workers could get this. That's very important, as we know from Italy right now. Talking about nightly news last night, the idea of an antiviral, anti-inflammatory, perhaps working, get people out of the hospital. That's what Yannakopoulos said. That's the only positive I know in terms of what's going on at a hospital. I look, instead of thinking about stocks, which I think have to go to their 2018 lows, I say, are we Italy or are we South Korea? Italy out of control, South Korea under control. I don't know which we are.
Well, but a lot of public health professionals will continue to tell you that whatever we can do to change our behavior to slow the spread of the virus will be beneficial.
Absolutely.
Because it will mean not overwhelming the healthcare system. It will mean giving us more time for antivirals, the ones that you're referring to, not a vaccine, but something that Gilead is working on, which could conceivably, if it works, and we can get it into significant supply, help the growing population of people who are going to get the
but
virus.
We cannot be that optimistic because of how difficult it is to produce a vaccine.
Understood.
How long it takes.
Well, the vaccine versus, when is like a Tamiflu
antiviral
that will work for this?
Right. Well, we don't have a vaccine, like the flu vaccine, and we don't have the Tamiflu.
Right.
So I would like the Tamiflu-like analog, which would be something that Regeneron has, maybe Gilead.
Yeah.
But again, you have to test and test and test. Do we have time to test? In this country, I think that there's still a kind of an unrealistic nature that I was out at dinner last night. It was very hard to get a reservation. I was looking around. I'm just saying I'm seeing empty tables everywhere, meaning that I'm looking 2 to 3 weeks in advance. You're starting to hear firms getting it. David Costin with an unbelievable piece saying it's the end of the bull market. I kind of agree with that. If I think it's going to go back to the 2018 lows.
I know, but the slowdown in economic activity is going to be real. I mean, everybody can try and understand what when Google says to its 100,000 employees in North America, we prefer you stay home. They're not out. They're not going to lunch. They're not whatever.
And the conventions.
At Google, they actually get lunch for free anyway.
Are we adding value by saying that people may not go to games? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what I'm saying is that there are certain stocks. I'm not denigrating what you're saying.
No, right.
But I'm just saying that when I listen to you, I translate that to stocks. And I say, well, what do we do with a hotel?
That was the point of the presser yesterday afternoon. Larry Kudlow talking about what kinds of measures the government can take right now to help those businesses that will have this huge interruption in cash flow. Take a listen.
I think the outline of the thing is very important. The payroll tax holiday is probably the most important, powerful piece of this. But on the other hand, I want to draw attention. We can use administration and executive authority, again, to help unpaid sick leave people, which is very important. We can use it for the medium and smaller businesses, which is very important. Other distressed sectors, we have some leverage on tax deferral.
Word is that the Hill's not ready for this yet. They need to see the fire in the living room before this got traction.
Look, they had Secretary Mnuchin and Larry, they got to go over there. Say, look, no vacation. Come on. This is really serious. This is not the time to have vacation. It's not even time to campaign. I find there's a very unrealistic disconnect, although I think that Secretary Mnuchin understands it very much. There's an unrealistic disconnect between people who want to go on, live as usual, as is, you know what, we want to take the subways during the Battle of Britain, you know, bombing of London, Churchill showing.
Keep calm, carry on.
Yeah, Churchill showing that. And then, but we're not Churchill. And then there are other people who recognize the dangers, and we're all splitting up offices. We're going different places. We're starting to get to that sense where we actually have friends who have it. We're recognizing that self-quarantine means that you're not going to the movies anytime soon. And I think, look, I don't, this is no time for, I'm in the, Are we kidding? So, I mean, my wife went to go to a gathering on Sunday, and I said, no, this is very ill-advised. And we had a little dispute about it because there's a sense of, well, hold it, wait a second, we still have to go about and do some things, and I don't want to. I canceled something that was very important to me, a conference that was hugely economic impact on me. I said, what, am I kidding? This isn't going to happen.
Right, but you're still going to dinner.
I want to end that.
Yeah, I mean, I had lunch with somebody yesterday who we had lunch in their office. He's no longer going to lunch.
And was the sandwich delivered by someone?
No, it was delivered from a nearby restaurant. It was actually very nice. Yeah.
Do you wear gloves?
We didn't, but these are the behaviors. People do different things.
That's, when you're wearing gloves, like you don't want to go to Liberdade.
I went to the gym yesterday, and whole time you're thinking, wait, which did I put this side of the towel down or this? I mean, it's
I opened the door today, and then I grabbed my bag. And I said, oh, boy, did I ever screw that up. And then I said to myself, I'm sorry, guys. I may just, you know.
I left my house without my subway gloves.
What, are you kidding me?
No, but then luckily I didn't have to. No, I didn't. Hang on.
No, I got to. Can we go over to.
It was fine.
You don't have to.
It was not that
go crowded. To John Ledger's
not overly
chair.
Crowded. Not the John Ledger chair. Waiting for him, by the way. That deal's going to close not too long. Let's okay, not
these are 70%. You know, all you need is north of 62. I mean, can you guys, believe this? I'm like, I'm going to be drinking wood alcohol when this is over.
We're going to be fine.
We're going to be fine. What are you?
You've said for weeks, and Merkel said it today. She predicts 60 to 70% of the German population will be infected. Your point has long been, we're all going to be exposed to this.
Yeah, I mean,
the point is just not to overwhelm the healthcare infrastructure
and
in a hurry.
Like, I mean, she put that out. I don't know the full statement. I think the next corollary should be, and a lot of you will be exposed, but you won't really be sick, okay? And that was, therefore, if she didn't say that, that was just completely irresponsible, because anyone from the Faucis of the world would tell you, look, a lot of people are going to be exposed to it, but not get it. But at the same time, when you read the stories out of Italy, I mean, the hospitals were just overwhelmed very quickly. They were fine. And then next thing you know, they were overwhelmed. And then you're teledocking.
Yes, you are. Speaking of Italy, which is more or less closed down, we saw those amazing pictures from the Colosseum earlier on Squawk Box. It's not an insignificant economy. What about the European banks? We got moves up, obviously, over there as well. The UK making some important moves. But a look at a Deutsche Bank, you look at a number of these other banks. I mean,
right.
The market caps are tiny, but their balance sheets are enormous.
No, they're enormous. I have to tell you, Banco Santander, Anna Boutin, really distinguished herself. She's got it better now. Madrid, the schools, my daughter teaches in Madrid. The schools, they're closed, but we're seeing that pretty much everywhere. But that's the bank that could end up being the savior, certainly not the German banks. They never recapitalize their banks. A shout out to Tim Geithner for the much hated insistence that our banks raise capital. When you're listening to Charlie Sharp, I don't know if you listen to Charlie.
And the stress test, which gave confidence. The Europeans never really followed us. There were holes in their balance sheets for a long time.
Well, they're club members.
Barclays, Credit Suisse, and Deutsche Bank, I think their combined balance sheet, I'd had this written down, was $3.2
trillion. Oh, well, that's terrific.
Their market cap.
The full faith and credit of what?
The market cap of the three companies is something like $50
billion. Well, Ian, that's not great. Look at Monte DePaschi. I mean, it's the oldest bank in the world. David, why don't you just go set up an account there and see how you feel overnight?
So when we hear from Lagarde tomorrow, we got BOE Emergency 50 today.
Yeah.
I mean, what can she do? Their deposit rate's negative. Arguments being made she's less aggressive than Draghi ever was.
Yes, she is. I mean, remember Draghi had a Malcolm X position, right?
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. It's a good book, that Malcolm X.
Yes.
Yeah. He had a Malcolm X position. She's not. It's time for a Malcolm X position. There is no need for any other position, particularly with the European banks. I think our Treasury, fortunately, we have Secretary Mnuchin. I think he would issue and refinance $1 trillion worth of bonds because he understands the bond market.
We should be doing as much as possible.
It's going to happen. We should get Congress should be back. I mean, look, I'm not
the largest infrastructure program in the history of the United States. Why not? We can borrow at virtually nothing.
You have to have Congress approval.
Well, getting workers, you know, sadly, by that point, might not be as much of an issue.
It's true too.
Oh, no. I'm looking for a spike in the claims. Look, we've had unbelievable employment numbers. And I want to those have been fabulous. We don't have any inflation. We can really crank it up. The Germans never cranked it up. They sat there with this balance sheet. They could have done anything.
Well,
and they did nothing.
Merkel did say today that she is open to rolling back the zero deficit rule, which would be huge for them.
Yeah, it is. It would be necessary. But the fact is that we have to do that. I mean, think about it. Remember then when the biggest issue was whether the Chinese...
We run enormous deficits. What do you mean?
No, well, we can do very low interest bonds. I'm saying we could do that.
Oh, yes.
And I just am kind of marveling. Remember, we were worried about the Chinese might sell? We could use every bond they have.
Nobody's worried about the overall.
How about the way that China.
Debt, which is what, 23, 24 trillion? I don't know where we are.
Okay, David, trillion here,
and
trillion there.
And or a trillion dollar annual deficit.
But let's understand.
Given rates.
Did the Chinese beat it? Are the Chinese ascendant because they used draconian measures?
It's an interesting question. We don't know the answer, but maybe.
I think that. Yeah, I think
they did. No guarantee.
It's coming back.
No guarantee.
Yes.
No, I mean, look, the only guarantee is that we hope for herd immunity, where next year everybody who has it surrounds us and those who don't have it won't get it.
Right.
We want to starve it. But look, we're not epidemiologists. Dr. Fauci is. Dr. Fauci's been very sober.
But,
right? He's been very sober.
The simple fact is we have to beat the virus every single time. It only has to win once.
Wow, what are you, like a car doors?
that's
David,
what,
you're just
that's what the epidemiologist will tell you.
You are filled with just incredible missives you just put out there. Just really good.
Meg Terrell knows some good epidemiologists, and she'll get us up to speed on this morning's numbers. Hey, Meg.
Hi, Carl. Well, worldwide, cases are now growing to more than 121,000 with more than 4,300 deaths. About 55% of recorded cases have recovered, according to Johns Hopkins data. Italy's cases topping 10,000, Iran's at 9,000, and new case numbers growing again today in South Korea after 5 days of declines. In Germany, with more than 1,600 cases, Chancellor Angela Merkel warning the virus is likely to infect up to 70% of the population. The United States passing that 1,000-case threshold with at least 31 deaths. Washington's Governor Jay Inslee today expected to announce restrictions on large gatherings of people as that state contends with the most cases in the country at 279. In New York, New Rochelle due to closed schools and public gathering places around the epicenter of its outbreak tomorrow. Public health experts warning the U.S. health system doesn't have capacity for a surge in critical patients. Vice President Mike Pence is due to meet with hospital executives this afternoon. We'll also hear testimony today at 9:30 from the NIH's Dr. Anthony Fauci and CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield. This as testing capacity finally ramping up in the U.S. to 15,000 patients a day, according to data compiled by the American Enterprise Institute. But with that development, there's a new problem, potential shortages of products necessary to run the tests, namely RNA extraction kits. We've been in touch with QIAGEN, a major manufacturer, who says the demand is challenging its capacity and it's ramping up manufacturing and hiring new staff in response. Guys.
All right. Meg, thank you very much.
That wasn't that positive.
No,
anybody hear anything positive from Meg? You got anything positive?
Well, you mentioned Regeneron last night. Schleifer did say that whenever this vaccine comes, he promised it would be affordable.
Right.
That was important.
Look, Len conquered, well, George Yancopoulos, the great doctor at Regeneron. They did beat Ebola. They're the company I've been looking at the whole way. I've known Len for ages. Lenny, as the president calls him. I think only the president. But I do feel confident that when he says that we've got something, he does not shoot from the hip any more than Dr. Fauci does. So he is the right now the bulwark that I see because they've beaten it once, just like Dr. Fauci with AIDS. It gives me some belief that we can therefore stop at that 2018 level that we got to when J-Pal bear market. Jay's been on the team this time. He's not in the way. He's not running the triage unit at Beth Israel, whatever they got there. I mean, pick a hospital that doesn't really. All right, Columbia.
Wherever you
New, want. NYU Lando.
He's running the Federal Reserve.
He's not running the triage.
He's running the Reserve,
Did you go to the hospital now? It's just like I've been.
Yes.
They asked you some questions.
Yes.
Wow, you can really just wow them by saying, no, I haven't been. I've not been to Wuhan.
Dick Cramer's Mad Dash in the opening bell in a few moments. There's, business does continue. We'll get to Pepsi today and this $3 billion deal, Tesla, of course, Cloudera, and more when we return.
All right, we got a Mad Dash as we count down to an opening bell. 9 minutes from now, another incredibly volatile week on Wall Street. We are looking, of course, for a significantly down open. But it is nice occasionally to talk about stocks again. What do you
got? Yes. Well, I know you probably expect me to talk about that giant deal, Smile Direct, with Walmart Canada, but I'm not going there. Halliburton, this is emblematic of the research I'm getting. J.P. Morgan, they downgraded from buy to hold, right strategy meets wrong cycle. Halliburton, can I just say, is a major American company that has historically been unbelievable at fracking. It has done a great job. It's always been in the mix of a company that could, remember, buy Baker Hughes. And here I am looking at this question about the balance sheet that is they need debt reduction. And it's a little bit Occidental-like. Occidental, of course, being the benchmark of stupidity. Oh, sorry, Jimmy Chill. Benchmark of ill-advised moves. And David, I look at Halliburton and I say, are you kidding me? How did it get there? Everyone was constructive about it. People were saying good things. And now I'm reading and it's like, well, they're going to make it. They're going to make it.
How much debt do they have on their balance?
Well, that's a 4x. You see that?
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. If you have leverage right now and you're heading into this period, I mean, in the energy sector, but as I said earlier, Jim, even in consumer or hospitality, you've got to be looking carefully at what your needs really are going to be and reducing to the extent you can. And try and extend maturities or even sell equity just to make sure you can ride it out, whatever's coming.
But I think what I my approach here, What the hell? My approach here is this. A lot of the companies we see are prudent companies.
Yes.
You know, I think some people might think that everybody is Occidental. Not at all. These are prudent companies that just didn't expect to have a dramatic decline. The oil punch was just too much. That was the bridge too far for this.
And for those who say, got a huge tax cut, got depreciation expensing, all those things, and you bought back a ton of shares, did you waste it? Did you waste that cushion?
In retrospect, you were doing what everybody else was doing, which was saying, whenever you were on these conference calls, what we're going to do is we're going to deploy cash. Rather than raise the dividend aggressively, we are going to buy back stocks. So if things go bad, we are still going to be ready. What they didn't realize is go bad meant a dramatic decline in revenues.
Yes.
So they don't have the money coming in. Again, I want to accentuate. These are not, like, Marriott is by no means a bad company. It's a great company, but people have to check in.
Those companies that may perhaps have been particularly prudent and kept and not been fully optimizing their capital structure as they're urged to do by so many of their shareholders are in a better position now.
Right. I mean, if you just ignored your shareholders like Warren Buffett, then I think you're in good shape. I wish Warren Buffett would come on now rather than 2 weeks ago.
See Berkshire selling 5 billion euros worth of bonds today?
Yeah, zero.
Zero.
That's a good interest rate to borrow.
That's not bad.
And then he gets paid by Occidental. Did you notice Occidental? He got the preferred
there. Occidental, he will get the 8% on the $10 billion he lent them to get the Anadarko deal done. Of course, the company drastically slashing its own dividend yesterday.
Right.
But they still got to pay Mr. Buffett.
Right. No. And did anyone read the interesting piece about Biogen getting together? Very smart healthcare company. And there they're all going to a hotel and they're high-fiving and
A lot of
that to me says, let's not have that convention. Let's not have Coachella. Let's not have South by South. Hey, maybe not have the Apple Developers Conference. I don't know.
None of them are happening. They're all canceled.
I carry this around. This does not make me feel like I can't wait to go to a really good restaurant. I carry this around. I mean, whatever.
I'm still going out to eat.
You're still going out to eat?
Yes.
Well,
maybe I'll have to take it off.
You're like a risk taker.
I don't think I am.
I own two restaurants.
I'm actually changing my behavior in significant
ways. Last night, Tom Colicchio, restaurateur, said his revenue's down 70. Are you seeing anything like that in your business?
Not good. No, but remember, we're not tourist places. It's the tourist places. We also don't charge a huge amount for the wine. You know, that's where he gets you. Did you know that? That's where he nails you?
Yes. The margins on alcohol are very high.
I mean, he in particular.
Well, you told me what the alcohol margins at the bar.
Man, Pacifico Look, when there's still a percentage of people when times are bad, they want to drink. That hasn't changed. I mean, Canopy Growth, I'm sure, wishes that they wanted to take gummies. David, how's your gummy supply? You stocked up?
No.
You're not?
No. I can't, the dosage is still very difficult for that.
So in other words, what you've got, instead of hemp gummies, you've got hemp rope.
No, just got the good old-fashioned kind, which I really don't.
What, the gummies from Haribo? You got Haribo?
No.
Lord whatever. Who's that Lord?
You got this thing, you do this to it, and then you
flame.
That's all you do. It's like it's 1978
for me. 1978. Okay, yeah. Mr. Vapor. I saw you vape on the subway. Double whammy.
That is a lie.
That is a bit of it's a bit of an exaggeration.
I have incredible subway decorum. I want you to know.
The only thing good is that his son was All-State wide receiver. It's the only thing good that I've heard since this thing broke out.
Yeah,
it is. Remember when breakout was a pimple?
He won't have a graduation with his kids.
Well, look at the Olympics today.
Really?
Kyoto said there was a Japanese committee member who said he would propose delaying it 1 to 2 years.
Well, there you go.
And then later, the chairman of the Japanese committee said that official apologized for even suggesting it. So that, nothing's changing on
Japan
the Olympics.
Japan's peaked.
These kinds of decisions are coming fast. I mean, the Olympics is still obviously many months away, but the idea of bringing together tens of thousands of people in Tokyo, we'll see.
Well, David, I'm going to ask you. Let's say your kid was paying 75 G's for college, right?
Yes.
And they just say, hey, listen, you're done. You're done. Do you get like a prorated money back?
You don't. Harvard yesterday telling all its students.
Georgetown this morning.
By the 15th.
Georgetown? I'd rather go to University of Phoenix online than a lot of these online schools. How'd they do last year in football? Did they beat your kid?
That's They a lot of people are going to the to that remote learning. That's what's happening.
Well, that's just great.
Oh, think about graduations. If you're planning a wedding in April, you know, you got to feel for those young couples.
Oh, no, no. This is all very simple.
A lot of behavioral changes. Hopefully they will be short-lived.
Changes.
That is what we all
Remember what Fauci said? Your life is not going to be the same.
Right.
And I think that we all have to start thinking about that. Too many people are going about their business as if it's not happening.
Although, Jim, I mean, like we're going to talk to Costin. This Goldman call, they do see a slump mid-year. Yeah. They still see the year-end ending 3,200.
I think
we're going to make this up on
the
back end.
I think David likes a happy ending. He's got with that arc. You know, it starts good, and then it goes bad. It's kind of like David's like kind of like one of those Patriot Games things, you know? I mean, Jack Ryan. He's got Jack Ryan. Starts the year, you know, with a wife and cooking like a pancake. Then it goes down here, and that's where we're headed. And then somehow it ends up here. I don't know how it gets up here. Because I've seen the movie that it may be unrealistic versus the reality. We have to get to that 2018 number. We have to get to the J. Powell number. Things are worse than when J. Powell decided to throw us into recession. I mean, Jay didn't set out.
We'll talk to Costin in a little bit.
I love
Meanwhile,
Costin.
We're going to watch Circuit Breakers. It's not as big an issue today, but we do need to fall 201 points on the S&P to trigger. And futures indicate we're not going to get anywhere near that at the open. But it's something to watch.
I don't want people to buy. Wait till the circuit breakers if you want to. I think we should retest Monday. I think you want to, cash is really king. This is the first time in this bull market where it's not being facetious. Cash is king. And I think that what you have to recognize is that until you hear Congress, until you hear the Regeneron, that something's good, you don't have any hat to. Here's your hat. What's your hurt? I mean, we just don't have anything to hang on to.
There's a longer opportunity than you typically think to buy stocks.
That's it.
Yeah. And it won't.
Like how I always felt about Zynga and.
Too
right?
early. You always said too early.
Yeah, too early. Yeah.
Viewers are happy for your son, though. That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Congratulations.
It was a while ago. Jim just got the.
I just got it. Got OBJ-like hands before he kind of got the stuff in his head there.
There's the opening bell on the S&P 500 at the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. The big board, it is the U.S. Army. And at the NASDAQ, Monopar Therapeutics, focused on extending life or improving the quality of life for cancer patients.
Well, that's who we need. We need this all-out Manhattan Project. That's what I want. I mean, I think the president's coming around, and I'm not for him or hate him. I mean, this is the time to be able to say, we've got all these people coming today, right, the Benioffs of the world. You're not leaving until you figure out how to beat this, like we beat polio 54-55.
That is underway. I mean, there are many efforts being made towards a vaccine.
It's all catch as can.
Can you necessarily speed it up beyond what is being done?
Yes.
So that it is not a year to a year and a half?
No, well, that's the testing issue. I mean, you have to wait because you can't just give people a vaccine and then inject them with something that can kill them.
But the antivirals conceivably could be sooner than
And that's our hope, is the hope.
Which will
then that's the antivirals.
Ameliorate a lot of the, potentially a lot of the symptoms, keep people from being in the hospital if they get it.
That's, you can't remember, you get in the hospital. I mean, I remember when my father, trying to get him out of the hospital after he broke his hip, and it was like every second, can we take him out? Because we know that pneumonia's come, we know. And then he died of pneumonia. I mean, you got to get out of the darn hospital. And that's why we need the antivirals. Now, my dad was 92. Remember also the age thing. We have a lot of people, 18, 15. We wish the best of luck. They don't seem to be showing up a lot, which is very different from the, you know, the regular flu. But notice we're no longer talking about the regular flu versus. That's just, take that off the table.
Right, right. It's novel, as you said.
It's novel. It's novel meaning we have zero immunity from it.
I mean, Pepsi, though, today spends $3.6 billion on Rockstar Energy.
I thought it was a very good move. I happen to like Rockstar. If you want to have it, you drive Rockstar Energy. I mean, it really does do it for you.
Does it have a lot of caffeine in it?
Does it have a lot of caffeine?
I don't drink soda.
Oh, my. Actually, look, the caffeine is similar to the triple venti cappuccino with skim that I have. Actually, I think it's a very good acquisition. I think Raymond has a really good plan. That has been the area that has been a hole. It's a huge boon in the convenience store. I don't know if you guys ever go to a convenience store, Dave. You've never been anywhere. But there's just case after case of these energy drinks. It fills a major hole for PepsiCo, which is doing quite well. Remember, snacking, that business has not stopped. People do not stop. By the way, David, CBD, the hemp that you use, that's also tied in with, say, Doritos. Jesus. Did you go to college?
I don't even understand what that means.
Well, that's typical.
80 milligrams of caffeine.
No, it is
that's
a great. I think it's a great acquisition. I think Pepsi's doing very well. I would point out that Monster has been a great stock. I think Rockstar's been underinvested. Mr. LaGuarta, that's Ramon. He is a man of the world. He's from Spain. He's really cool. And he's got this going. He could also play Bond, by the way, just so you know.
He could.
He's much cooler than Daniel Craig and taller.
Well, first of all, don't take shots at people who are not that tall. Secondly, Daniel Craig in Casino Royale was by far the best Bond. So
I like Daniel Craig
just
very much.
Take that, Mr. Kramer.
No, I like Daniel Craig. I'm not even, there was nothing, I'm just saying Ramon is cooler. I mean, never mind. Sean Connery.
Obviously, we've got the market down 2.5%, that being the S&P at this point.
Why not let it come down a little, guys? Don't feel the need. I mean, some people are probably saying, listen, we're retesting. Okay, I am saying that there is no hurry to buy. That's what I'm saying, David.
I understand that.
Okay.
I understand that. So anybody who's looking at the banks and going, yeah, I get it, but they're all so incredibly well capitalized. Yes, we may be moving into a recession.
Well, let's just
Energy is not that large a part of their portfolios. They have rock-solid balance sheets.
They've crushed it on bonds,
all
theoretically,
true.
Right?
Conceivably.
Yeah, all
even
true.
With very little net interest margin, if any, these guys can still do fairly well, and their book values are falling.
I'll buy some Morgan Stanley here. I will do that. If 3.65%, but it's theoretical. 3.65%, James Gorman doing a terrific job. There, I'll go there. They're unlevered balance sheet. They are terrific. Okay, so there.
Okay.
I'll go there.
You will.
Yeah, down 3% with a 3.6, buy your first position. You want to buy 1,000 shares of Morgan Stanley, you buy 25, you buy 250 right now. I will sanction that.
Goldman Sachs at a market value of $62 billion, I think below book, right, at this point?
That book is 205, totally scrubbed, David.
Right, okay, so 205 and the stock's 180.
Yeah, but it was at 177 the other day. Why do you want to get it here? It's 2.7% yield.
Understood.
Why not let it come in?
Understood.
DJ?
Elon Musk did tweet yesterday. He's looking for locations for his Cybertruck factory in the central USA.
Now that takes Queens out of the equation, David. I know you were hoping for Queens.
In terms of what? The
Cybertruck factory?
Yeah. Tesla factory.
Yeah, I'm always looking to try to help.
AOC has already said, don't you even dare think about
it. True. God forbid we should put people to work. High-paying jobs.
Can I just say that, this is one. I think Tesla's doing quite well and is going to weather this versus, all right, let's call it, Tesla versus Ford. I know we got Ferrari versus Ford. I want Tesla versus Ford. There are some number cuts today for the automobiles of the SARS. You know the number of cars. They're down to 15 million. That is, I don't trust Ford's 9.9% yield. I'd rather own Tesla than Ford. I would.
What about the argument that as gas prices go sub 2 all around the country, why switch to an EV? It's going to be cheaper to drive a conventional vehicle.
Tesla's a technology company on wheels. I don't think people are trying to save money there. I think they like the environment. It does that. I don't think they're very pro-carbon. And I do think that the pennies that they save per gallon is not equal nearly to the way that people that Elon Musk has just kind of re-engineered a new way of driving. In China, in Berlin, I'm surprised that, look, if you want to deal with the 70% of people who are going to get COVID, then Angela Merkel should be down there, chopping trees with everybody else and getting the bombs out of that site and start building like crazy. Tesla's good. Ford bad.
Tesla good, Ford bad.
Who do I get to be? Is it my Brad Pitt when the Ford versus?
Well, that's Christian Bale and Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, yeah, Brad
Strike
Pitt.
Me more as a Bale, but that's just me.
Christian Bale's fabulous. Matt Daniel Craig. Who have we not mentioned?
Well, there's many people left.
Ben Affleck?
He's got a new movie out.
Does he?
Yeah. Speaking of movies, the Walt Disney Company is having its annual meeting today. I don't know that anybody's showing up, but they are having it. And do you know who's no longer the CEO of the Walt Disney Company?
Michael Eisner?
Yeah, Bob Iger is no longer the CEO. In fact, he hasn't been now for a couple of weeks, which is
Did
really
you see this Hollywood Reporter story yesterday asking what the rush was? And in retrospect, what could it mean?
His timing is impeccable. People have asked that question to me, certainly given, you know, I've always focused, as you know, on media reporting and all that. And it's an endless question. I don't know. Mr. Iger has obviously, I've spoken to him on the record as well. And, you know, he's made it clear that this was his decision, something he brought up with the board some time ago.
Is it a holy crap moment?
But there are still people who look at it and the way it just hit and the way it was done and say it did not feel like a Disney-like.
Well, it didn't end like action. Sleeping
Beauty.
It didn't
feel like Mr. Iger, who typically scrubs everything so closely, so carefully.
Right.
That said, you're talking about a new CEO. Well, of course, Iger remains exec chair.
He's not sitting next to Sneezy, and he ain't dopey.
What are the decisions that CEO is going to make about the parks?
Look.
By the way, an area he knows very well.
How about
Mr. Chabak, whose name, frankly, I sometimes don't even remember.
I know. It's hard.
Say again?
It's hard. That's a hard name. It's like the guy from McDonald's. It's very hard. The thing that I would say with the moment that they do close the parks is you buy the stock. Now, the stock did trade down to 102. Be careful. It's too early to buy because if they do close the parks, I think you get that big final give up, and then you must buy it.
You think that day is coming, I'm guessing?
It just makes too much sense to
That's
not
what Dan
close.
Niles said on our air yesterday,
yeah,
and Bernstein.
It's not alarmist. I think it's just prudent. We're going to get it back open. We're going to beat this. But for the moment, there are going to be people say, holy cow, they closed the parks. They're going to sell, and then you buy. I mean, there are buy moments. And we're going to beat it. I'm going to keep going. We're going to beat it.
Of course we are. There's no doubt about that.
Well, then that's when you buy Disney. I'm just trying to get your levels.
The duration of how long it takes us to get through it.
Right,
and but how bad it is.
If you have a good balance, if you have a good balance sheet at home, and you've been waiting, or if you have some cash, or you want to get out of some stocks that are, say, oil related, even though you have to take a loss, get ready to buy Disney. Now, I do feel, look, obviously, I would feel better if Bob were still at the helm.
Well, he is exec chair, but he's
He's
not running the company day to day. Doesn't have to get another earnings conference call.
This is not like the Philadelphia Disney annual meeting, right? One with Sidney Gold, remember where they. Eisner, the insurrection in Philadelphia?
Thank you. No, I was not remembering. No, it is not that at all.
After the Declaration of Independence, that was the only thing that happened monumental in
that
city.
The first annual meeting that will obviously have Disney with a new CEO when it has, I mean, this has been 16 years, right?
Right. But, you know, Disney, you like the casinos. Let's take the casinos. Like, I don't want to go to a casino right now.
MGM just cutting buffets in Vegas.
What are we hearing out of Vegas? I mean, I would assume the traffic is down.
So I know it's staying there. We're not hearing anything.
Hilton pulled guidance last night.
I think Las Vegas Sands, which I really like. It's a great company. I would not own the stock. Wynn.
Well, Macau was shut down for a while there, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, there'll come a moment, but just don't be aggressive. There's no hurry. You look at these stocks down, you say, oh, I got to move. And I'm saying, go back to where they've been. And they were a lot better then where they've been than they are now. No panic. Just wait. Patient. You're going to get it.
Yep.
But when you see, say, Major League Baseball make an announcement, NCAA, people will say, each time there'll be new people who say, holy cow, that thing's for real. I always ask people, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Yeah, while I'm carrying this instead of a cup of coffee. Do not drink this, David. This thing's saying, this is 150 proof. but you know,
thank
people,
you for the heads up.
Well, I don't want you to. You can drink Rockstar. That's okay. I'm allowing that.
Okay.
But I do think that what happens is when you find more and more awareness, people just say, I don't want to own a stock other than a gold stock. Yeah. So I'm just canceling. There come a moment. I mean, this morning, Goldman upgraded. It had a good number. Eli Lilly, the strong buy. Eli Lilly is a great company. But you don't have to go buy it when it's only down a little. You might get a great opportunity by David Ricks's company. There's some great opportunities coming. So all I'm saying is, look, if you feel like you have to buy something that can be from a grocery store. Even the co-op fees in Italy are open. You've been to co-op fee, and they're stocked. Co-op fee is a state-run. If you touch the fruit without a glove there, that was pre-coronavirus. You can't touch fruit without a glove. And that's why I always carry gloves when I'm in Italy or some gloves for you.
Jim, we've been talking for a couple weeks about Nike's resilience. Today that's ending. Is that because of the Adidas guidance?
Yeah. You know, there's another one. I mean, come on, guys. The market in China's weak. The market in Europe's weak. The market in the United States is weak. You got a new CEO. Take your time. it could be a really great stock. It's just, man, think about where it's been. All I'm saying is you got to remember this is now the end of the bull market, a la David Kostin, whom I like very, very much. I don't like the fairy tale ending he's using. But you know, you get a stock you like, stock like Nike, and you take a look at where it's been, and you say, you know what? I am going to absolutely wait to where it was when Jay Powell said we need three more rate hikes.
$68
There you go. That would be
83
good.
Now.
That would be good. Yeah. Now, people might say that's a disaster. No, that would be a great price. All I'm saying is go for the great price. Notice I'm not trying to be glib, but I'm not panicking. I'm just recommending that there's some incredible bargains coming. And those are bargains. Those are not BO. I'm not talking about BO, David.
Guys,
are you too young to even know what that reference is to?
I didn't hear it.
What, B.O. Oh, you're busy. What are you doing?
I do
texting?
Know what that reference
is. What are you texting the kid?
I was looking up my notes from earlier because I did want to mention quickly that ongoing situation that you hate so, Xerox and HP.
Oh, yeah, that's the Armageddon deal. We'll look back. That's the burning bed
Jim,
deal.
They did have a meeting yesterday involving the CEOs, I think, as well, potentially some directors. Not getting a lot out of it, but remember they told us they would meet, and they in fact did. That is the leadership of HP and Xerox. Very much unclear what came out of it. Expectation from what I'm hearing is at least there's some back and forth that, that will require at least some sort of a response from HP to Xerox, hoping to get more for people beyond that.
I know you
look askance.
Well, I just think you don't. It's the Occidental deal of
tech. There is still a belief that if they ever were to finally get down to it, and quickly so, HP would end up still buying Xerox.
Well, HP is too smart unless you think that their hand's going to be forced.
But it continues. There is some deal-making still, things that were in process. Whether you're going to see new things initiated, I think, is a much larger question when it comes to M&A.
I just think there's so many great tech companies that you actually can buy. I'm not kidding. I mean, look, if you want to buy some Microsoft here, I'm fine with it, okay? I'm fine with it. That makes sense.
Yeah. Pelosi's office says she and Mnuchin have spoken this morning, so we'll be alert for headlines out of D.C. Let's get to Bob Pisani.
By the way, that's very positive. That's what we want to see.
Yeah. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Morning, Bob.
Morning, guys. So another 2 to 3% down day, and it's a takedown of all the sectors, essentially, in that group here. Just let me put up the S&P futures, and I'll show you. Of course, earlier, the close yesterday, we moved up dramatically on hopes that we'd get some kind of clarity on a fiscal stimulus package. That's not so clear anymore, and that's why we moved down the pre-open and why we're down today. If you take a look at what moves the markets here, obviously we had what was going on Monday with the oil moves here, the coronavirus headlines. But again, I think the most important thing is the perceptions of fiscal stimulus. What's the content? What's the size? What's the timing? When it gets clearer, market tends to stabilize and move up. When it's more murky, as it was overnight, the market tends to move to the downside. Look at the sectors here. And while you might say, well, all right, oil stocks are down a little bit more. Essentially, again, you see this global takedown. I keep talking about it. 2 to 3% of the whole market is down. Even healthcare stocks are down within a percent or so of where everything else is trading. So this is just, again, continuing takedowns of the multiples. If you look at energy stocks, still no bottom here. Occidental, of course, cut their dividend yesterday. You see these dramatic declines here. Bank stocks, they're getting really cheap here. Some of these stocks meet Regions, probably 7-8 times forward earnings. Some of these are also PNCs, probably 9 times forward earnings. Again, people don't believe the earnings. That's the problem. These multiples, book value doesn't necessarily mean an awful lot when you're not sure of what the business is going to be like in the next couple of months. Hilton lowered, essentially removed guidance. This is joining the growing list of companies here that have essentially withdrawn their guidance that's up there. There's Hilton recently, but you see this growing list that we've got. So these typical metrics we use to try to figure out where is the market bottom don't really work here, like dramatically oversold internal indicators, 90% downside days. So a lot of people were looking, what's the maximum drawdown we see in an extreme situation, a recession, for example. So the S&P will typically drop about 13% from its high to low in any given year. Right now, we're down 17%. So already the drawdown from high to low is a little higher than normal. Recession numbers, it's typical for the S&P to drop around 30% in recession. Now, in the Great Recession 10 years ago, it dropped 50%. That is a real historic outlier. We're not going there yet, but there's a typical range. If you're trying to figure out, what can we expect? Well, there's another 10% if you get down towards recession territory. Nobody's saying we're there yet, but this is what you want to think about in terms of a model. A lot of people are very happy with the fact that technology, which is sort of the emotional heart of the market, with the S&P, you know, down 16% or so, technology has held up very well. It's not getting cut bigger than everything else. It's really energy and banks that are being cut. Of course, a lot of people could say that may be the next shoe to drop if we have continuing legs down. But right now, technology comparatively is holding up pretty well. If you take a look here at the volumes here, boy, are people busy. Down here, New York Stock Exchange has been huge. This is the cash equities for the whole stock market, everything, NYSE, NASDAQ, everything. 14 billion shares we are averaging per day. The average last year was 7 billion. We're doing twice the normal volume in cash equities on the overall exchanges. And the futures exchanges, CME is having one of the greatest months in its entire history. We look at futures contracts here. It should be contracts. 41.4 million and 19.2. You see, again, twice as many. These are contracts, again, that we're dealing with, not shares here, as there normally is. So at least, is there any good news here? At least somebody is making money off of this sad state of affairs. Everybody down here, very, very busy. Carl, back to you.
Bob, see you in a bit. Bob Pisani. Let's get to the bond pits as well. Rick Santelli's at the CME in Chicago. Morning, Rick.
Good morning, Carl. You know, what a case study in central banks, monetary fiscal policy, because if you look towards Mr. Carney and what the Bank of England did today and what many surmise the ECB will do tomorrow, their rates have gotten a little bit firmer. I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse, but look at what's going on in a 3-day of U.S. All right, on Monday, of course, we had the low close for tens. That was, what, 48? And the low intraday lows, 31. We did cover the gap we had. That's a good thing. So there's the week-to-date in tens. A slight upward bias, to be sure. If you look at a 3-day chart of boons for the week, minus 91 was their intraday low on Monday. Minus 86 is their low close forever. But you can see we've drifted up a bit, just a bit. We're up about 3 basis points from minus 79 close at minus 76. And if you look at a 3-day chart of gilts, you can see the same dynamic going on. You know, I was going to show the pound, but the pound had some volatility, but it certainly didn't do anything within its recent range to draw any scrutiny. Much, of course, was built in, but the coordination of fiscal and monetary, many are tipping their hat to, we'll have to see in the big picture. Remember, all gifts are good gifts. We just don't know what gifts are really the gifts we need right now, at least in many's opinion. And if you look at a 3-day dollar index, 94.65 was the intraday low, so we have come up a bit. 94.89 is the lowest weekly close, and that, of course, goes back to September of 2018, as you see on the last chart. I will say it again. Nobody knows when your gun's hot in new territory you've never traded before. It's very hard to get a GPS, but we are starting to make a base. And the big picture for 10-year note yields, as crazy as this sounds, 150 is the area above us we have to test if there's any chance for rates to be firming. Don't expect it anytime soon, though. David, Jim, Carl, back to you.
All right, Rick. See you soon. Rick Santelli. As the virus news roils the markets, Wall Street executives are headed to the White House in just a few hours. Our Wilfred Frost is already in Washington with a look at what to expect on a big day. Hey, Wilf.
Hey, good morning, Carl. As you said, top executives from most of the nation's biggest financial companies will attend a meeting at the White House hosted by the president 3 p.m. Eastern Time today. The vice president and Treasury Secretary will also be present. In attendance will be the CEOs of Bank of America, Citi, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, U.S. Bancorp, Blackstone, and Truist. For J.P. Morgan, we'll see President and COO Gordon Smith in place of the recovering Jamie Dimon. I understand James Gorman of Morgan Stanley decided not to attend. The focus will be lending to small and medium-sized companies. On which front? The most obvious action would be for the government to ask regulators to reduce the amount of capital banks have to hold against those types of loans in return for the banks agreeing to extend loans to clients feeling pressure from the virus. There'll also be a focus on liquidity and the proper functioning of markets. A few possibilities here. First, they could relax the terms around holding cash at the Federal Reserve for resolution planning, the so-called living wills, which some say has contributed to the repo market stress of the last 6 months. Number two, they could accelerate proposed changes to the Volcker Rule. Or three, they could make issuing and trading credit default swaps more simple, the volumes of which are down some 80% since the peak. But we are not expecting anywhere near the level of widespread action seen by the government in Italy, where all interest payments have been suspended. That said, it is very rare that we see this caliber of financial CEO in one place at the same time. And the ability for them to calm wider market fears, including about their own share prices, is significant. I'm sure they'll want to make clear this is not 2008, even if today's meeting has that kind of feel about it, guys.
Wilf, we're going to be talking to you all day, our Wilfred Frost in D.C. Let's get to our Elon Mui, who I understand spoke with the Treasury Secretary a few moments ago. Elon? Nope, not yet. Okay.
Back to this. This is the number one priority for us, and we expect to pass bipartisan legislation very quickly. I've been in conversations with the President, with the Speaker, with Mitch McConnell, and others around the clock. That's the President's number one priority. The President is also very much focused, as you know, on a larger stimulus package. He's looking at the payroll tax cut. We'll look at other alternatives as well. But the President is very committed. This is going to be an issue, as I've said before. This is not a multi-year issue. This is an issue that certain industries are going to be significantly impacted, and the President is very committed to make sure we have the economic response appropriately for this economy. And this is something we're going to do quickly, and we're going to respond to. I'll be meeting with the cruise line executives later today. We'll be getting more feedback on that. I'll be meeting with the President, with the bank CEOs. The President is very focused on what banks can do for businesses. So the President and his economic team are full-time working on this, and Americans should have every confidence in the President is going to respond accordingly.
What's your latest thinking on delaying tax day?
Thank you.
All right, so we'll see what happens regarding his conversations with the Speaker.
My understanding is Secretary Mnuchin really is pushing for all these things that would make it so small and medium-sized businesses can stay in business, and that people who are sick will also be able to stay home and get recompense. And I just think that where I look at the faith is that what they're going to do with small, medium-sized business, which is the base of the economy.
Yep. Walmart did tell its employees, its hourly workers, 1.5 million workers, that they will be paid up to 2 weeks if they are asked to quarantine by either the government or the retailer itself.
These are hopeful things that the government's doing. I don't want to be cynical about it. Hate him or like him, President Trump's guy, Mnuchin, is trying to get the money to the people who need it most, which is the people you have to lay off because you don't have the cash flow to pay them.
Let's do stock trading, Jim.
Okay, there's a stock, Dow Chemical. Now, this is very much what's going on in corporate America right now. Jim Fitterling, who is an amazing CEO, he's done some great things at Dow. He's also, of course, trying to solve the plastic problem for ESG. He's got $2.7 billion in cash flow to cover $2.1 billion in dividend. That's what the base case that they did. He says they're ready. This is as of the other day. And the yield's 9.5%. So people are going to say, hey, you know what? 9.5%, this is not accidental. I don't know. I think his base case may be too bullish, but he has a base case. He's thought all about this. And if you believe and are more optimistic than I am, then there is a 9.5. But you have to be more optimistic than I am. I love being optimistic, but I've not been since the Super Bowl, and I'm still not.
That interview with Tepper changed your view.
And I talked to Tepper this weekend, and we both were crying in our proverbials because I don't drink beers too fatty, dude. What happens to me is I just say, yeah, I know. I mean, let it come down. Jim, I hate doing this, Carl.
It's a tough story for everybody, Jim. No one's happy about it. What's on Mad tonight?
Okay, we have a company. I've been trying to highlight companies that are doing really well in the bad times. And we've got Bill Stone from SS&C. They're doing terrifically. I've had Teladoc on. They've been amazing. Dexcom. You know, diabetes is not stopping here, unfortunately. So I've been trying to feature every day a company that does well, regardless. And that's my goal, because I want people to be taking opportunity, particularly the people I hope that from Robinhood.
Jim, we'll see you at 6. Mad Money, of course, tonight on CNBC. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.